From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, December the 1st, 2023. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Congratulations. We made it to Hawaiian Shirt Friday. Let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Come on, sing it loud and proud. Love it. That's the way you do it right there. Sweetest sound this side of heaven. And we need to get things started right with
the Daily Denogram.
Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, if you smile when no one else is around, you really mean it. Oh. Yes, sirree. And if you smile when others are around, they'll wonder what you're up to.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Come on.
Twisted history.
This is fake.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Indeed.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I love it.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Okay, then.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, well, kids, it was on this day in 1878, President Rutherford B. Hayes got the first telephone installed in the White House. And not long after that, he called Thomas Edison on that new phone and asked if there was some way to install a recording device to take calls. Edison said it doesn't work that way. And it was on this day in 1990, Channel Tunnel sections started from the United Kingdom and France, met beneath the seabed. Good thing the two sections lined up, or they could have spent an eternity looking for each other.
This will not look good on a resume!
Back on Wednesday, the Western Journal broke with a huge story by Warner Todd Houston with the headline, GM pulls funding from floundering electric vehicle efforts in $10 billion bid to appease investors. Well, you know, in the final analysis, when you're trying to keep a company afloat, you do answer to the investors, the shareholders. I mean, that's how you got in business in the first place, by selling shares in the company. And investors bought shares out of nothing more than sheer faith. Faith in what you had to sell them. So, as Mr. Houston writes, General Motors is reassessing its investment plans in electric vehicles. As sales collapse, I predicted that. And shareholders' fears that the initial headlong dive into EVs was a major mistake. I've been saying that all along. And I've been talking about this for what, 4 or 5 years now? Something like that. I guess you would find the major thrust in my anti-EV campaign probably coincides with the inauguration of Joe Biden. GM is preparing a move now to pull back from all these electric vehicles. And in the process, they're obligated to reassure investors that the business is still strong, despite the slow, if not in some cases, non-existent EV sales. Now, it's becoming more and more evident every day that the American people simply aren't interested in buying EVs. They need their vehicles far more than any EV is capable of serving them on one single charge. How many times have you heard me say, if I can't drive my car from here in Houston or Sugar Land to San Antonio and back on the same day, I'm not interested. I've got to be able to get in my car in the morning, drive to San Antonio, have lunch with somebody, do some business, and then turn around and come back and get back in time for dinner. It can be done. From where I live, Sugar Land is southwest of Houston, right on the outskirts of Houston. And it's about a 2 hour, 45 minute drive on a typical day. That's provided there's no construction on I-10. All right. And I've got to be able to do this. I can't go to San Antonio in the morning and then just put the car on hold while it charges for 8 hours and then get back in time for dinner. Can't be done. Well, the American people aren't stupid. Everybody knows this. Everybody who's had a driver's license or an automobile for more than a few years understands that the dynamics involved with refueling EVs is just not consistent with the needs of typical Americans. So they got a major problem here. Now, according to the Western Journal, GM is planning a $10 billion stock buyback. Wow. $10 billion. That's more money than you can count in a day. And this is the largest in years, and it's going to fund that buyback by curtailing many of their previously announced investments in EVs and self-driving car development. That's another area, too, that's just absolutely ludicrous. Self-driving cars, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not in my lifetime. Now, the Journal reported, this would be the Wall Street Journal, okay? They reported that the CEO, Mary Barra, is trying to jumpstart GM's flailing shares while also refocusing investors on the underlying strength of its main business, selling gas and diesel-powered trucks and SUVs. Now, these leftists, these idiots on the left who want this totally emissions-free planet, they're nothing more than living out fantasies. Well, they're not even living them out. They're pushing for a fantasy that cannot be. If you want to support life as we know it on this planet, and most people do, most people are born, they're raised, and they go into adulthood in their own environment, in an environment they learned to live in. And their environment includes automobiles, electronic devices. And in order to have all of these conveniences of life that we have become accustomed to, you must have fossil fuel vehicles. Now, I'm not saying that automobiles are always going to be run on gasoline, because I don't believe they are. I think eventually there's going to be a new fuel technology. And I'm thinking in terms of, the CEO of Toyota. He believes in hydrogen. Well, I do too. It makes a lot of sense. CNG, compressed natural gas. That's also another great possibility. You know, they run the buses in Houston. The metro line in Houston, that's all run by CNG. You get in behind a Houston City bus, there's no emission, no smoke, nothing, no smells. And those buses run all day long without having to refuel. And it's easy to convert to typical automobile to CNG. Well, getting back to Mary Barra, in a Wednesday letter, she told shareholders that the profitability and cash generation of our internal combustion engine business remains strong. Well, you better believe it, because that's what you're going to have to fall back on when EVs fail. And they will fail. Now, I'm a fan of Elon Musk. I really am. And I think it's amazing that he's pulled off what he has with Tesla. But eventually, his business is going to fail. There will be a major crash of Elon Musk. Now, he's resourceful enough not to end up in the poorhouse, but eventually Tesla is going to have to shut down plants. They've already built too many vehicles, and they can't sell them. So think about it. Do you really believe that you can get by as a hardworking individual on an electric vehicle? Can an electric vehicle satisfy your typical daily needs? And I'm betting it can't. And now this idiot administration of ours, this radical leftist administration that currently occupies the White House, hopefully for not much longer, they want to pull diesel trucks off the roads. And this is the way the left operates. They want to enact this totally emissions-free world before developing a technology that can actually do it. See, their attitude is, well, we'll just force people to do it. We'll force them to buy EVs. We'll force them to drive EVs. We'll force them to give up their ICE vehicles, ICE being internal combustion engine, okay? We'll force them to get rid of their ICE vehicles. We'll just pass more laws. We'll have a more intrusive government. And we'll force people to do things our way. Well, number one, that is not the job of government. Go back to the Constitution, which is a document that no Democrat has read. I guarantee you, I don't think any Democrats have ever read the Constitution. And they're becoming more and more intrusive in our lives, all out of one thing, ideology. That's right. The lefties are in bed with the environ Nazis, and they really want nothing but electric vehicles. They want electric 18-wheelers. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, it ain't going to happen. Number one, we don't have enough resources, chemical resources on the planet to make all those batteries. What about the disposal of spent batteries? Have you looked into that environmental nightmare? And it is a nightmare. It's scary. I mean, it's even scarier than disposing of nuclear waste. The pollution that ensues in the production of these electric vehicle batteries. And think about this. Batteries big enough to power an 18-wheeler. It's insane. Really insane. And yet, these environmentalists, not a one of which is educated in energy. And these environ-Nazis are trying to force us into a technology that still doesn't exist. And somehow, thanks to the government throwing money at the automotive industry, the automakers have allowed themselves to fall into this trap. So GM stock has fallen 14% this year, and it's hit a three-year low just this month, due in part to the auto worker strike that cut its profitability projections from $12.7 billion to $11.7 billion. No small amount, my friend. So, one of the first moves the company made to try and right that ship after the strike was to reduce spending on the less reliable EVs. But it's not just because of the strike. They're having to do this because EVs aren't selling. Nobody wants one. It's absolutely ridiculous. But here again, you can throw the blame on the current administration because they were so eager to get in bed with these environ-Nazis. And I've been talking about this for a good couple of years. I said EVs will never take over from ICE vehicles, internal combustion engine vehicles. They're just not going to do it. EVs are not going to take over from diesel-powered trucks. Can't happen. The economies of scale just aren't there. And yeah, I'm taking a victory lap. But I'm not happy about it. Because think of all the money that has been wasted on the part of these automakers. GM, Ford, Stellantis, /Chrysler. I mean, the smartest one of the bunch is Toyota. The Toyota CEO said, we're cutting back on these EVs. He did this a year ago. He's way ahead of the rest of the world. He said, this is ridiculous. The EVs are never going to overtake internal combustion engines. So we're going to ramp up spending on research and development of hydrogen-powered vehicles. Smart man. Smartest kid on the block. The man at Toyota. Mr. Toyota himself, that's spelled with a D, T-O-Y-O-D-A, Mr. Toyota, who's retired, but he's not silent. He's made that point perfectly clear. EVs will never take over internal combustion engine vehicles. Again, the Environazis are just totally uneducated. And here again, I want to point out the difference between people on the left and people on the right. Leftists think with their heart. They're all about emotion, what makes them feel good. Don't confuse them with the facts. Their minds are made up. Conservatives, people on the right, they think practically. They live, eat, and breathe in the real world. They know what it's like to have to live in this world. They know what it takes to live successfully in this world. So they go by truth. They go by facts. And the left, for some reason, I can tell you the reason. It's because all of your media is leftist. Remember the other day I was talking about those six companies that own virtually all of our information? All the information the public gets comes through these six companies. And all six of these companies are leftist driven. You talk about any one of these, mention the name of any one of these executives of these big companies, and they're all leftists. One of the biggest among them is this guy, Jeff Zucker, who trashed CNN. And CNN claimed, well, we're going to come back. We're going to come back. We're going to readjust things and we're going to come back. CNN will not come back until they learn that they must convert to conservative ideology. But it's not going to happen. Because not only are these executives all leftists, they also possess huge egos. And they will not be told. They will not be enlightened. They will not be educated. Their minds are made up. And you and I have to pay the price. Just think about this, too. Hopefully, I'll never have to buy another new car again. My Dodge Charger is doing beautifully. And it's high mileage, but that thing is still running perfectly. In fact, there's nothing on that car that doesn't work. But if you're going to buy a new vehicle within the next 5 years, you're going to have a more intrusive vehicle. The government is going to be snooping on you through the car's special electronic modular systems that will be, they're going to be policing your speed, the way you're driving, and you're going to have that shutoff switch. Remember we talked about that, what was that, in one of the podcasts last week? The government is going to be snooping on you. But think about how much that next vehicle of yours is going to cost because of the money that was wasted. Your money that was wasted on developing EVs that nobody wants to buy. Well, the top executive at MSNBC, or as Mark Levin likes to refer to them as MSLSD. I love that, MSLSD. Anyhow, the top executive over there at MSLSD is in the crosshairs of Donald Trump, who came out and accused him in a scathing message of unfairly leveraging government-sanctioned airwaves to launch continual attacks against him and his campaign. Now, there's nothing about that statement that is untrue. We all know that. Writing on Truth Social, Trump targeted CEO Brian Roberts of Comcast, which owns MSNBC, calling him a slime ball who endorses illegal activity at the network where liberal hosts frequently make outlandish criticisms about putting the Republican in jail, comparing him to Adolf Hitler, or suggesting he be shot. Now, all of those allegations are true because I heard them all. I mean, they had a guest on the other day on MSNBC who suggested that Donald Trump be shot. So let me read what Trump wrote. He said, MSNBC, and then he put in parentheses MSDNC, uses free government-approved airwaves, and yet it's nothing but a 24-hour hit job on Donald J. Trump and the Republican Party for purposes of election interference. Brian Roberts, its chairman and CEO, is a slime ball who's been able to get away with these constant attacks for years. It's the world's biggest political contribution to the radical left, Democrats, who, by the way, are destroying our country. Our so-called government should come down hard on them and make them pay for their illegal political activity. Much more to come. Watch. Now, I agree with that. I don't know legally what, under the First Amendment, our government can do to MS-LSD. But there are things that can be done, because I remember when I was a pimple-faced teenage disc jockey, I used to get warnings every so often in our routine staff meetings that, you know, there were certain things we couldn't do on the air. We couldn't swear on the air. We couldn't use any dirty words because the FCC would fine the radio station. Anything that you did against FCC rules and regulations would possibly result in the revocation of the radio station's license. Now, on cable, you don't have a license to operate. So, and Donald Trump, where he made his mistake there was he was talking about the free airwaves. MSNBC is not on the free airwaves. That's a subscription service. And it's open season on those signals. But since the end of the Fairness Doctrine, let's get into some facts here. The Fairness Doctrine ended in 1987, thank God. And the FCC has declined to regulate news programs on its airwaves, a decision that over the years and prodded both Republicans and Democrats to accuse partisan networks and stations of bad behavior. The FCC has ruled that any cost incurred in covering or carrying a news story, commentary, or editorial by any broadcasting station, including a cable television operator, programmer, or producer, doesn't constitute a political contribution to a candidate or party. You know, and if you look at that closely, that's the proper ruling. Okay? Now, in 2017, Trump suggested that the problem of fake news could be resolved by stripping stations like NBC of their licenses after the network reported that his Secretary of State called him a moron during a private meeting. Now, the networks don't have a license to operate because the networks don't hold the licenses for those radiating transmitter sites on radio and TV. The individual radio and TV stations hold those licenses. NBC doesn't have a license, neither does ABC, CBS either. CNN, of course not. So any attempt to pull a network from the airwaves would run up against the FCC. That's an independent federal agency. And FCC board members are appointed by presidents. See? Now, the FCC does not, I want to repeat this, does not license networks, but rather issues those to the individual broadcast stations. I just want to make that very clear. But still, the ability of Trump to influence the FCC is considerable should he return to the White House. The chairman of the agency's board is selected by the president. And then there are five commissioners, all made up of joint appointments by the president at the U.S. Senate. So even MSNBC hosts are terrified of the prospect. In the meantime, Trump is going to benefit by using MSNBC as a favorite foil on the campaign trail. And he can point to some of the network's most infamous hit jobs on him, including suggesting that he would control the Justice Department's authority and calling for a new Patriot Act to target conservatives. So it's going to be interesting to watch, not MSNBC, but Donald Trump and how he takes them on. MSLSD, I love that. If you're a real conservative, you know who Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana is. Former lawman, tough lawman too. And he estimates that there were at least 200 undercover federal agents embedded in the crowd on January 6th. He also claimed that some of the agents were dressed as Trump supporters and they were inside the Capitol itself before it was breached. All of this is believable, you know, if you've been following some of the testimony that has been leaking out in some of these hearings. My God. And Higgins was talking to Chris Saucedo on Newsmax the other night. He said the FBI was not only involved in the actions on January 6th from within, they had, I suspect, over 200 agents embedded within the crowd, including agents, or as they would call it, human assets, inside the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters before the doors were opened. Now, according to Higgins, agents effectively infiltrated online chat groups, which isn't hard to believe, forums and social media sites where protests against COVID measures and objections to the 2020 election were discussed. And then he says, and when you track the text threads and the communications within those groups and find the origins of suggestions of potential violence or an active occupation of the Capitol on January 6th, you'll find that those messages were led by members of the groups that ended up to be the FBI agents that had infiltrated the group. Wow. So the FBI's involvement, according to Higgins, was deep, not just on J6, but on the days and weeks and months prior. So I wish I could interview Mr. Higgins, because I would like him to consider this possibility that the FBI had been weaponized against Donald Trump, period. Donald Trump as our president. I believe the FBI to be a very partisan organization. I think that the FBI is about as leftist an organization as you're going to find anywhere. Now, I'm not talking about the field agents, people out in the field. I'm talking about the rank, not the rank and file, but the elites within the FBI, because they're all political animals. You know it, and I know it. They're like the Biden administration's Gestapo. Well, before we call it quits for the week, let's get back into the comedy corner with another newbie, Andrew Slater.
This is a big moment for me. My wife and I just had our first baby. Yeah, a few months ago. Thank you. We waited. We wanted to wait until the end of the world. So it's a great time. We're repopulating. How about that? You're welcome, everybody. No, it's great. The one thing I've learned from having a baby is that everybody knows how you should raise your kid. Isn't that amazing? Everybody knows exactly how you should raise your child. And then you look around and you're like, hey, wait a minute. You guys did a pretty bad job. What happened? Were you not listening to everybody else's advice? What went wrong? People are already telling us stuff. They're like, how much screen time we should allow. That's a big hot topic. How much screen time do you allow? So my wife and I, we've looked into this, and we're going with 100%. 100% screens. That's right. All screens, all the time. I was ready at the hospital. The second my baby came into the world, I put a virtual reality helmet right on her head. And my plan is to let her think she's in Mario Kart for 18 years. That's what we're doing. Mario Kart for 18 years, and on her 18th birthday, I'm going to unplug her from the Matrix and just let her go. Just go, hey, I'm your dad. You can't shoot turtles at people anymore when you get upset, and you have to move out. But good luck out there. If you have any questions, ask your mom. It's fun. There's a lot of decisions we're going to have to make. You know, people are already asking us, what school do you send? Because there's all these choices, you know, private schools and charter schools. We're big believers in public schools. Okay? Yeah, we're going to send her a public school. And it's not just because we're broke. That's a coincidence. It just so happens that the free one best lines up with our ideals. Okay? I don't know. Sometimes it works out that way. I used to live in Los Angeles for a long time, and they have a million private schools in LA, so many choices. And there was this one I used to drive by all the time. It was called the Harvard Preschool. Yeah, it's a real thing, the Harvard Preschool. And I used to think, what is going on that is so much more advanced at the Harvard Preschool? Is it more rigorous finger painting? Is that what it is? Are they making connections that they can use later in life? It's like, oh no, I'm gonna get this job. I went to preschool with this dude. Yeah, he's a good guy. We're in the same horsey group. But I used to wonder, I was like, how is it even legal, right? Can you just call yourself the Harvard? Isn't Big Harvard going to get upset? And I looked into it, and the reason why, I'm not making this up, the reason why they could call it the Harvard Preschool is because it was on Harvard Street. Yeah, right? How good a hustle is that? They opened up a school on Harvard Street to trick these rich, dumb LA parents into sending their kids to the Harvard Preschool. It's genius. It's inspiring to me, is what it is, because I live in Portland near Apple Street, and I've started my own business, Apple Computers.
Make it a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?